Podcast, and this time we'll be discussing another interesting topic about tokenized property marketplace. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Mr. Robert Hovind, the CEO and co-founder of Goro Corporation from Jakarta, Indonesia, as he shares with us his valuable insights on the tokenization process of property in the real estate industry and its critical importance to our virtual economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. Asia Pacific has been at the forefront of tokenization trends. Jurisdictions like Thailand, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Japan have been proactively implementing regulatory frameworks to facilitate the growth and adoption of tokenization, while the United States and others continue to grapple with the legal lexicon and treatment of tokenized assets, Asian countries are providing the breeding ground for innovation in tokenization. While tokenization is still far from being a mainstream investment vehicle, it could present significant economic benefits. Besides providing additional liquidity to an asset, tokenizing assets improves operational processes, squeezing cost savings, and potentially removing the middleman. Blockchain technology can be used to bring greater operational efficiency than what is presently available in the operational setup of a traditional financial system. As such, bringing a real economic asset into blockchain by tokenizing such asset can facilitate faster settlement times, boosting market efficiency and reducing counterparty risk. Secondly, fractionalization is arguably one of the biggest game changers brought about by tokenization. The ability to divide previously indivisible assets allows for easier and more affordable access to digital assets, as users no longer need to purchase an entire unit of an asset to participate in its ownership. This means that smaller investors can participate in investments that were previously only available to larger investors, thus democratizing access to investment opportunities. Asian jurisdictions are already seeing how tokenization can have tangible, positive impacts on the real economy. For example, Japanese real estate firm Kenedix announced its fifth digital security backed by a hotel in Sapporo City. This particular innovation with this issuance is that, in addition to the digital security, securities owners are given a utility token that can only be exchanged for souvenirs on site at the hotel, therefore encouraging in-person visits and driving growth. Thailand has also witnessed notable tokenization projects across several sectors, including real estate, entertainment, and the media. Examples of real-world tokenizations are possible but require clear regulatory frameworks where legal terminology is properly defined. Tokenization undoubtedly blurs the line between traditional and emerging digital financial systems, leaving regulators at times struggling to navigate this new world. While the US are grappling with how to regulate digital assets, Asia is making big strides in defining tokenizations and providing the necessary regulatory guardrails for innovations to thrive. Thailand, for instance, has taken significant steps to regulate digital assets and support the growth of tokenization. The Emergency Decree on Digital Asset Businesses, introduced in 2018, provides a regulatory framework for offering investment and utility tokens and operating digital asset businesses in the country. Japan has implemented clear guidelines indicating how digital tokens are to be regulated under an amendment to the Act on Settlement of Funds and the Financial Instruments and Exchange Act. As a result, security tokens are deemed as interests in a collective investment scheme that are represented by tokens. There are clear lines adopted when adopting promoting security tokens and the type of assets being distributed. In Hong Kong, recent guidance allows tokens that meet certain criteria to be eligible for retail investors. With its new regulatory framework for virtual assets trading platform, Hong Kong has taken proactive steps to make less complex and arduous for interested participants to tokenize assets and distribute them. By providing clarity in the status of tokenized assets, these Asian markets have laid the groundwork for further adoption of tokenization, which will undoubtedly boost not just the digital asset industry, but the broader economy as a whole. These Asian jurisdictions provide shining examples of how we can achieve regulatory clarity. Differences in regulatory frameworks and treatments across countries are making it difficult for tokenized assets to gain traction at the global level. Many tokenization projects are global or multi-jurisdictional, meaning that some level of standardization, particularly with regards to anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing, as well as accounting and taxation, is crucial for facilitating cross-border transactions and ultimately driving adoption. It is abundantly clear that steady guidance from international regulators is sorely needed. Clear taxonomy is crucial for legal purposes. That's why tokenization creates the foundation for a more equitable and effective financial ecosystem by facilitating alternative financing, encouraging innovation, and boosting industry. Countries across the Asia-Pacific region are aggressively strengthening their legislative frameworks to enable this game-changing technology, establishing them as essential actors in the continued evolution of the financial markets. While the rest of the world is now starting to catch up in this area, it is clear that Asian markets have got a head start on understanding how appropriate regulation can yield real-world benefits of tokenization. With further appropriate regulation and standardization across global markets, we can definitely stimulate tokenization adoption and increase the chances of unlocking the full potential of how innovative technology can play a positive role in the financial systems. In today's podcast episode, we'll be talking to Mr. Robert Hoving, the co-founder and chief executive officer of Goro, a very promising digital platform which has the objective of democratizing real estate investment in Indonesia for more fractional ownership opportunities, as he explains to us the value proposition of real estate tokenization and its significant relevance to our digital economy. It's a great privilege to have you, Robert, and welcome to FinCircle.
Thank you very much for having me on. Very excited.
Thank you so much, Robert, for joining us today. Let's probably start by describing the recent developments of the real estate tokenization in the Asia-Pacific region. And where do you think we are heading?
That's a great question to start with. It's very much in its infant stages still. A lot of governments especially are still trying to figure out where the space is and where it's heading. What is very promising to see, though, is that countries like Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, Singapore, as well as Dubai, are proactively looking into this space, and some have already introduced regulation. It's all varies a bit by jurisdiction, obviously, but these are very encouraging signals. And within each of these jurisdictions, we have seen various players pop up that are trying to do tokenization, not just real estate tokenization, just tokenization in general. But it's still very early stages. There's no one that has really won the game in terms of the business model. People are exploring different types of business models. Some work in certain markets, some don't. There's a lot of marketplaces around where people are constantly looking for new supply, new projects to launch for tokenization, and they're looking for demand, the users. But often the demand is kind of lacking. Everyone is always happy to list their project because they want to raise more money or they need to exit their project. So that's not the question. It's really the demand. So that's very much a trust element, I would say, and an educational element that's still lacking. But that's very common when you're launching a new product. It takes time to build that momentum and trust.
I understand, Robert, that you're the co-founder and chief executive officer of Goro, a very powerful digital platform that is engaged on real estate tokenization in Indonesia at this point in time. Hence, what are your main influences and motivation in starting this remarkable initiative?
Thank you very much for the kind words. We are Indonesia's largest fractional property investment marketplace, where we allow anyone to invest into high yielding Indonesian property from, we say $1, but it's actually 66 dollar cents, which is 10,000 rupiah in the Indonesian currency. And what we're trying to help people with is to get access to property investing. Indonesia has a population of 280 million people. A very fast growing middle class. The middle class here is growing at 20% per year. And a lot of these people are just reaching that middle class status in their life where they have some disposable income. But for reference, only 5% of the Indonesian population currently invests. So there are trading platforms around for crypto. There's obviously stock trading platforms out there. But what we realize is that the financial literacy is still very low. And often these people don't understand how crypto works or how stocks work. But regardless of your background, people tend to understand what property is all about. It's a roof over someone's head. It's a home. So what we allow these people to do is to invest into these properties. And then every single month, they participate in the rental income, which we distribute back to them, as well as the capital appreciation when the property is sold.
Given that real estate tokenization is relatively new in Indonesia, what are the initial hurdles that you've somehow encountered and your relevant takeaways from these challenging circumstances?
There's countless hurdles, but let me focus on the key few. The two are regulation, and the other one is on the user side. So that's on the education side. Let me just start off on the regulation side. Indonesia today does not have any legal framework for tokenization yet. As I just mentioned earlier, a lot of countries are just starting to introduce it. They're also just trying to find their way around it. But it's still a very small number of countries that have introduced regulation. So Indonesia is not necessarily behind. They are trying to do their best. In fact, at the regulatory level, they are having conversations around how they can regulate tokenization and what that should look like in the Indonesian context. So we're super excited about that. We are trying to help where we can to also educate the regulators on what is happening in the landscape, how are our users interacting with the with the marketplace, and how we would like to shape the regulation. So that's a constant on, that's an ongoing conversation, and we're excited for the Indonesian government to introduce the regulation. On the other hand, when we're talking about on the user side, the demand side of the platform, there's a lot of education needed. Like I mentioned earlier, people understand what a property is and that it makes rental income. They understand that it goes up in value, but they don't really understand the token part. So that's what needs education. So we do this through a lot of content. We have customer service, obviously, for this. We have a lot of people that jump on phone calls with us. So we do a lot of effort around the educational piece and how that can help them with their financial literacy and obviously with them building wealth from as little as $1.
I understand, Robert, that the Goro platform allow investors to buy tokens valued at 10,000 Indonesian rupiah, which is equivalent to 0.66 US dollars, representing fractional ownership of a property with as little price of a coffee. Perhaps you can tell us more about it, as well as its value proposition to potential investors in Indonesia.
It's funny that you made the comparison of as little as the price of a coffee. Our best performing ad that we currently run is actually where we compare one property token versus a cup of coffee. And a lot of people seem to click on this, and it gets a lot of good interaction from our users. So the value proposition is that people from all walks of life want to invest in property. And from an early age, regardless of where you were born in the world, people tell you invest in property, it'll make you rich. Now, unfortunately for a lot of people, owning property or investing in property is no longer accessible because property prices have become too high for them to even get on the property ladder at all. At the same time in Indonesia, there's 80 million Indonesians today that do not qualify for a mortgage, whether it is because they don't have the right credit score to qualify or they do not have enough savings to pay for the down payment. So what we are offering to these users or to these people is come on board, come and join that, start that journey with us of investing in property from a very low entry barrier, 66 US dollar cents. So that means that even the working class people here that drive on their motorbikes and deliver food can now participate in these type of properties. Or even the person that's cleaning the villa here in Bali, they don't just get paid, they can be a part owner of the property. So that's a very powerful message that we have built into the Goro platform. And at the same time, these people can now start to create wealth every single month from the returns that they get. And hopefully in the future, they will reach a point where they can use these funds actually as a down payment, or they will qualify for the mortgage and they can actually start to own a property in the future. So that's part of our mission as well. The name Goro stands for Gotong Royong in the Indonesian language, which stands for bringing people together, working together for the greater good. And that's very deeply ingrained in how we operate. Whenever we think about strategy of the company, we think about, does this really serve the people? Does this make their lives better?
What has been the market adoption ratio that you have observed so far in Indonesia relative to the real estate tokenization at this stage? And what do you think we can do to further influence the Indonesian market to leverage on the platform to make it more inclusive?
When we launched Goro about 14 months ago, so that was January 2023, we launched the platform. And at that point, my co-founder and I, we thought that most of our users would come from any of the existing investment platforms for crypto and stock trading, and they would come to Goro to diversify their portfolio. And why did we think this? Because these users are familiar with creating an online account, they are familiar with doing KYC and transacting and investing online. However, it's completely opposite. 70% of our users are first-time investors. They have never invested into any other asset class before. And when we speak to these users, we ask them, why do you come to us? And they said, because your product is so easy to understand. It's property. You give me cash every month from the rental yield. The property goes up in value. So the value proposition is actually extremely simple for them. But at the same time, we are a new platform, and unfortunately, there's been a lot of scams in the market over the last few years. So we're constantly fighting this battle with our users to tell them we're a legit company. And we do a lot of activities on the platform as well as at the properties, and we take videos and we create a lot of content to showcase to our users that they can trust us, that we're a trusted platform. And this is also why regulation is so important for us. We want to be a front runner and help the government to create regulation because our users deserve to know that we are a compliant and trustworthy platform, but that takes time. So the regulation is that push that we need, and at the same time, it's the user education, help them with the financial literacy, and help them understand how they should manage their money. Because an interesting insight we also see is that some users come onto Goro, invest, and then they withdraw their money the next day. And obviously, if you've only invested for one day, your returns are going to be extremely small. So when we speak to these users and we ask them why they do this, is they are very impulsive. They think, hey, this is cool. I want to own this Bali villa or this Jakarta apartment. Let me put all my money into this. And then the next day, they have to withdraw the money because they have to buy food, maybe pay for insurance, pay for that kind of school fees. So these are all things that are a responsibility of ours, as well as all the other investment platforms in the country to improve the financial literacy.
That's a very good point, Robert. I understand that your group have successfully raised a pre-seed round of funding last year to strengthen user regional acquisition strategy, as well as expand your team. How is it so far, and what are the developments on those initiatives?
I would say it's been a roller coaster journey for sure, as every startup founder will always tell you. At present, 99% of our users are Indonesian users. And it was a very deliberate decision. When we started Goro, we were like, should we go after the domestic market first, or do we focus on non-Indonesians that want to get exposure to Indonesian real estate? Because both of them have very different messaging. So initially, we did the Indonesian market. We, like I mentioned, 99% is currently Indonesian users. However, we're starting to see a lot more traction recently in recent weeks of foreigners that wish to get exposure to Indonesian real estate for a couple of reasons. Real estate, and especially in Bali, is becoming quite expensive and is a cash-only market. There's no financing available. So a lot of people come here, fall in love with the island, wish to own a part or wish to own a villa, but unfortunately is no longer in reach because it's become so expensive. So that's where we come in, because even a foreigner can now own a part of a villa from as little as a dollar. So we're making that accessible as well. And at the same time, the other point around the expansion of the team has grown significantly. I remember last year around this time, we were about four or five people. It's about 5-6x now. We're close to 30 people now. Which has been an amazing journey for myself and my co-founder to see that vision that we had a year and a half ago of putting this together to now having a full office every day and seeing the team operate. So it's been an absolutely amazing, amazing journey. And it's even more amazing to see the users that we have on Goro, how they interact with us, how they educate the community. We have a Telegram group with about 8,000 members, and they're actively helping each other educate on how Goro works and how they should invest their money. So that's probably even more exciting than just to see the growth of the team.
What spells the difference between Goro platform as compared to your adversaries?
Fractional property investing by itself is not new. It's been around since probably hundreds of years because even you and I, we could buy a property together. That's technically also fractional investing. So what we do different is we slap a tech layer on top of it and allow you to invest online or for the convenience of your mobile app. Other players have tried to do this in the Indonesian landscape, but they have struggled to find the right product structuring. On the front end, what the user sees is pretty much the same. Put your money in here and you get paid every month, or every 6 months, every year. Depends a bit on how they branded it, but on the back end, how you structure the product. So what my co-founder and I did for the first 6 months of working together was speak to lawyers, tax advisors, look at the existing regulation, look at the existing players in the market, where did others fail? And we took all the best practices from this, and that's how we create our own product structuring. So if we take some of the previous companies that tried to do this and failed, they would create unique SPVs or companies for each property, and they would then house that offshore. So they would take the ownership of the property to, for example, Singapore or the Cayman Islands or Dubai, but that becomes very complex with regulation. Money flows, you're spending a lot of money on incorporating, managing these companies alone. So that simply does not scale. So that's why we spent all that time, 6 months, going back and forth to understand what we could do. And we created a unique product structuring, which is actually perfect for tokenization. And that's also what we're currently looking to get regulated in Indonesia.
In 2022, the market size for real estate tokenization has been estimated at $2.7 billion, and it's projected to surge to $18.2 billion by 2032, according to McKinsey. How do you foresee Indonesia's trajectory on this market projection? And what should be our realistic expectation on this regard?
It's very hard to put a number on this. Even McKinsey putting a number of this on this is extremely challenging because it's in such the early stages of the adoption of the product. But what is very encouraging, besides the regulators implementing frameworks for this, is also all the companies globally, all the big banks, the investment firms, they're all creating their own tokenization platforms to empower that adoption as we grow. Now, within the Indonesian context, is very much in its infant stages. There's crypto trading platforms, there's companies that actively operate in the blockchain space, and there's companies like us, but it's still very early doors. In terms of where this can go, there's 280 million people in the country. A lot of these people, I mean, if you take an average housing size with two, three, four people in a household, you're looking at 75 to 100 million homes over the next kind of over the next 10, 20 years, where that will go. So that's the potential that Goro has to expand into residential, commercial, tourism properties. Now, the one challenge in the Indonesian landscape, and is similar in a lot of the developing countries, is that data transparency is very challenging. So if you go to any of the large real estate advisory firms in Indonesia and you ask them, can you give me a number of the total property, the real estate market in Indonesia? What's the total value? They don't know. But you go to the US or say the UK or in Europe, there's data publicly available on the market size. So there's a constant battle that we also have. So we kind of take a bottoms-up approach. So we look at how many properties do we want to acquire for the company to really scale, and then we go and do our research to see if these properties are available. So that's one of the challenges of operating in a developing country. It also makes it a bit more exciting. You've got to be more creative in finding your information and your data, but so far it's been an incredible journey.
Given your significant experience on this field, Robert, any word of advice that you can give to everyone in the space of the real estate tokenization?
Absolutely. I've seen a number of players come and go very quickly. The way for real estate tokenization, we often say there's two ways to solving the problem. One is where you represent the developer to sell more units, or you represent the people and let them invest in property. the majority of players that we've seen come to market, not just in Indonesia, across the region, is they represent the developer. They want to sell, help the developers sell more properties. But we took a conscious decision to focus on the users. At the end of the day, it's also what our name stands for, Gotong Royong. So we want to help the people. We represent the people to get exposure to real estate. Because often what you see happening is real estate developers may overpromise on numbers, which then the investors will buy. So they may expect, the developer may say it's going to do 15%, but that is maybe a gross number, but the investor didn't do his due diligence properly. So after taxes and fees, they may get 5, 6, 7%. So they may be disappointed. And in the Indonesian context, anything below 5% is a very poor return. In our case, we consistently deliver 11% net percent rental yield. So what we do is say, let's work with the people because the developers will come anyway. Once we have a lot of customers, a lot of users on the platform, every developer would want to work with us because we can help them sell more properties. And in fact, we're already seeing this now after being in business for just over a year. A lot of developers are now coming to us and say, you guys are onto something big here. How can we help you? And what they're allowing us to do is now we get very favorable payment terms, or we get involved at a very early stage of the design of the property. So we can kind of tweak it towards what we think is best for the final user for when we rent out the property.
Very well said. Are there any initiatives that you're working on, Robert, that you would like to share with our podcast listening audience? And most importantly, what are the easiest way of reaching you?
Being a tech company, everything is online for us. So anyone that is interested to dip their toes in the water, really, if you're listening to this podcast, you go, hey, most people want to invest in property. That's not the question. But for people to go, Indonesia might be a bit far away for them, or they may have been here and they don't know where to start because they don't understand the language, they don't understand the legal framework, taxes, they don't have the right people on the ground to advise them. I would say to them, come over to www.goro, so it's goro.id, and just have a look on our marketplace. You can play around with the various properties. You can see the historical performance there. And it's a great way for you to test the water. In fact, a lot of our users come to us and they want to actually buy an entire property, but they have not built up that knowledge of the market yet. So they say, you know what we'll do is we'll come to Goro. We test the market first for you guys. We invest in a few properties from a dollar. And then over time, they may decide to withdraw these returns to actually buy their own property. But then they have that, they have seen the traction, they've seen the returns, they have an understanding of the cost of operating such a property. So it's not just around fractional investing, it's also around education. So I would encourage anyone, obviously as a founder, I have to tell people, please join us, please sign up as a user and come and transact. But yeah, go to the website. You can also download our app on the Android and Apple store, or check us out on social media at Goro Property or Goro Indonesia.
Well, thanks so much, Robert, for sharing us your valuable insights on real estate tokenization and its critical importance to our digital economy. We wish you all the best on your future endeavors.
Thank you very much.
Corporation. We would like to express our sincere appreciation to Mr. Robert Hovind on sharing us his insightful views on tokenizations of property in the marketplace and its critical importance to our digital economy. We would like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Audible, Overcast, TuneIn, CastBox, iHeartRadio, Anchor.fm, an affiliated podcast platform. You can also reach us on our website at fincirclewordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angeles. Let's catch up again soon.